Just a few hours ago, our community gathered in remembrance of the events of 20 years ago, the tornado that destroyed and damaged so much of our town, so much of our city. That same tornado, I realized I'm probably the only priest who have served both communities of Comfrey and St. Peter. That same tornado system that went through Comfrey and caused such damage there and did damage to the east of us as well. And there's something good about gathering, and especially at the 20th anniversaries or the anniversaries, the big anniversaries, something good about gathering and sharing those stories, because as we share those stories, we begin to incorporate what changes this might require of us, what this means for us. And at the time, I'm sure no one looking at the devastation could imagine recovery, imagine what that would look like. Probably no one at the time would have imagined that we would be gathered here 20 years later remembering, definitely like physically right here, and yet here we are. And as we remember, there's something that happens in our minds that we have to call to mind, that it's not just a mental thing for us. As we remember, I already heard some people saying, I wasn't aware of how emotional that was going to be to share those stories or to hear those stories again. I wasn't aware, and it brings back the feelings of the time. Have you experienced that this week, hearing some of those stories? If we're honest, most of us have, and I wasn't even here. I came the summer after the tornado and after the majority of the cleanup, so I saw some of that devastation, but certainly not the heaviness. There's something natural and something human about remembering, which is precisely why we gather this night. Our Jewish brothers and sisters will gather on actually Saturday this year as they gather to celebrate Passover. We hear about that in today's first reading, of remembering what God had done. And God, in his foresight, had already told them, this is how you're going to remember. You're going to gather. You're going to slaughter a lamb as a community. You're going to take that lamb home. You're going to roast it, and you're going to eat it as a family. And our Jewish brothers and sisters who gather on Passover have it ritualized now, that usually it goes to the youngest child who is able to speak. What is different about this night? Isn't that a kind of haunting question? What is different about this night? What makes this night special? And the father or mother responds, this is a night we commemorate the Passover. And they tell the story again. See, in the Jewish concept, in the ancient concept of memory, as you share those stories, it's not just a mental thing. It's not just a calling to mind of the emotions and maybe even feeling those emotions, but rather there's an element of we participate in those acts again. That as the Jewish people hear that story of the Passover, they are drawn into the acts and the effects of that first Passover, and they celebrate it with joy. And so as Jesus Christ celebrates a Passover with his disciples, as we hear in today's second reading, as St. Paul's offering of that Passover, he elevates it. He gives that Jewish Passover something more. In fact, he fulfills it. See, the Jewish Passover was a remembrance that God had led his people out of slavery in Egypt into the freedom of the promised land. He led them through the Red Sea. That's all one celebration. We celebrate that. We hear those images these next 3 days during this Triduum of God leading his people, and now Christ is leading us out of slavery, not from Egypt, not out of slavery to a physical slave and a master relationship, but rather a spiritual bondage, a bondage to sin, a bondage to death itself. That Christ takes upon himself death and nails it to the cross in love. And he takes that Passover meal. And he says, no longer is it a sign and symbol of something pointing toward the past, but it points to the future, and a future that's going to be fulfilled in some, not even 24 hours later. As Christ lays down his life on the cross, he becomes the Passover lamb. The cross becomes the altar of sacrifice. And Jesus Christ, the priest, the high priest, and tells the apostles, do this in memory of me. See, he gives them the Eucharist, which is a memorial, not just a remembrance, but a real memorial that draws us back into the past. So as we gather this night, we're gathering at Calvary, already anticipated, Jesus Christ anticipating his death and giving the Eucharist. And that draws us to Christ. As we just sang in the psalm, our blessing cup is a communion in the blood of Christ. A sharing in, that's what communion means. A coming together with. And it's not just a coming together with Jesus. Oh, so often we can look at the Eucharist as a God and me moment. I've said it before, it's not God and me, it's God and we. That the Eucharist unites us together as a community. It unites us together as a believing people. Those who have that faith, the faith in Jesus Christ, the faith in the church, the faith that the church has enunciated to us, it gathers us and makes us what we're supposed to be. Oh, so often we look at the Eucharist and say, isn't that nice? We gather and we make the Eucharist. No. It's the opposite. The Eucharist, Christ gathers us together and makes us the Eucharist, makes us the church. We are the body of Christ. And that Eucharist calls us to something. It calls us to charity. Jesus Christ in John's Gospel gives that model of charity. Year after year, we hear the story. Year after year, we ask, well, why does the church in her wisdom give us John's account of the Last Supper? If this Mass of the Lord's Supper is all about the Eucharist, why do we hear of the foot washing? Because that's what the Eucharist calls us to. The Eucharist calls us to charity, to service. Jesus Christ says it in today's gospel. You call me Lord and Master, for that's what I am. Yet if I, Lord and Master, do this, so too you must. How many of us have washed anyone's feet? I bet not many of us, at least literally. Some of us who were in the nursing profession or maybe even the doctor profession maybe washed feet briefly. But most of us, if we're honest, we haven't. Oh, moms and dads, you might have washed your children's feet. That's great, wonderful. But all of us are called to wash feet in a figurative sense. Called to lives of service. And that's why tonight, as we gather, the church gives us again the model envisioned before us, not just play acting, but calling to mind, this is the model that Jesus Christ has given. That we are called to wash feet. And this night as we gather, I personally invited six to have their feet washed. Six that will represent, hopefully to all of us, the service that they've provided or their compatriots or their counterparts provided 20 years ago. Those in the fire or police departments, in the medical fields, those who served our parish, our school, our church. As a model to us, we don't literally have to wash each other's feet. But we do are called to lives of charity. Jesus Christ in his love gives us the Eucharist, gives us that gift that keeps giving, not to be facetious, the gift that keeps us uniting us as the church, enables us to be people of service. I'm constantly impressed by people like St. Mother Teresa, who would spend 2 or 3 hours in adoration a day. I can't imagine. She would start the day at 4 or 5 in the morning in adoration, and then go out to the streets of Calcutta or wherever she was that day and find the lepers and find the beggars, bring them in, clean them off. And she didn't see that contrast between her adoration of the Blessed Sacrament and her service to the poor. There was no contrast. It was one and the same. It should be so for us. The same Eucharist we adore this evening in this Eucharist, the same Jesus that we receive in this Eucharist, is the same Jesus we need to serve out there. Are we? That might be the question we ask this night. How are we continuing Jesus Christ's act of charity? How are we serving one another, inspired, nourished by this Eucharist?